With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore, and really happy now to be talking with Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon. It's been a while since we talked with the mayor, and Mayor, welcome back to MSO.
Hey, Rick, thanks for having me. It's great to be on.
I appreciate it. You know, we check in with your the mayor's corner whenever you post them, and we have taken some of your information off that and put it on our news site and post and so on. And by the way, I would start right there. That's a great tool and technique that you have developed there. And maybe give me a little bit of genesis about how you got involved in that and started producing that.
Yeah, no, honestly, it was something leading up to me taking office. So after I was elected, just having meetings and going through that transition process, one of the reasons I think I was elected is because I talked about, how I wanted to bring a lot more communication and a lot more transparency to the mayor's office. And I thought one of those ways, why not do a little weekly, weekly show and just working with our local, Port Media, we came up with this Mayor's Corner idea. So I really didn't miss a beat. I think I did one my first week in office, and I didn't miss a week that whole entire first year. I will say I have missed a couple weeks this year. hasn't been very consistent all the way through, but pretty much every week, and I try to make them under 15 minutes. I'm really trying to get them as close to 10 minutes as possible. But, I can't tell you how many people stop and say, hey, look, I checked it out. It only took 10 minutes, and I got a really great quick snapshot about, all that's going on in your report. It's been really successful, and I really enjoy doing them. I kind of got them down to a science now, and it takes me one take, and I come in here, and they come in and do it, and it works out well.
One take, that's magic. But, it really is. They're so friendly, and, of course, like any television, you're into people's living rooms, or in this case, in my office on my computer, but they're very, very informational, and they are quick and to the point. Now, let's get to the point. I want to talk about Whittier Tech. We've had you you on many times from your show and from the news from the Newburyport Daily News about Whittier Tech, and we've also gone over to Amesbury and checked that out too. Please give me a little bit of background about the commitment that the 11 communities have to Whittier Tech and maybe what Whittier Tech is, because it's a fairly big school, but it is a vocational school, and each community sends certain numbers of students to it, if I have that correct.
Sure, yeah. So Whittier Vocational Technical School is located in Haverhill, Massachusetts. The 11 communities that feed into Whittier signed on to an agreement that was formed. It's called the Acts of 1967. I believe Whittier was finally built and opened at the early 1970s. And they've been operating as our regional vocational school. The enrollment in all the communities have fluctuated over the years. Currently, Newburyport sends 29 kids to Whittier, and I would say if you look over the past like 20 years of enrollment, that's probably about right for Newburyport. I mean, I think it was many, many years ago where they had sent more than that, but we've been pretty much around like 30 to 20 kids the past 10 to 15 to 20 years, and it varies throughout the district. So I would say Haverhill, it sends the most kids to Whittier. They send over 860 kids, and then Amesbury is the next highest district with about 126. And then I believe Georgetown or Salisbury has 50. And I think the rest of us are all under that number. Mm-hmm. So, so they're a vocational school district. They, around 2016, I think, did a feasibility study that I haven't seen. It's not up on their website or anything, but I know this is what they say. They started this process back in 2016 about looking at building a new school for Whittier. They entered into the MSBA, which is the Mass School Building Authority program, in 2019 and started this process. Now, unfortunately, in all of this, when they started this process to move towards possibly building a new school, because, again, this school is now over 50 years old, they didn't involve any of the 11 communities along for the ride. They do have a school committee that is formed with two members from each city, so Amesbury, Haverhill, and Newburyport are the three cities that feed into Whittier. We have two members on the school committee, and then the other eight towns have one representative each for a total of 14. These people get elected every 3 years. I shouldn't say elected. They get appointed by the local school committees in all the communities. So that's where we're at. So they have this Whittier school committee, and they have gone through this process since 2019. But they didn't bring any of the communities along for the ride. We never got an update, at least in Newburyport, from our representatives that served on the Whittier School Committee. They came for budget presentations because we do allocate funds for our assessment of Whittier each year, I think for Newport, which is around $600,000. So that's kind of where we're at. So then finally, at the end of 2022, Whittier reached out to us and actually brought us together and said, hey, you know, we're moving forward with this, concept design for our new school. They didn't have any numbers yet, but they showed it to us and it was like, oh, wow, that's an ambitious project. And we all kind of walked out. And then a few months later, we get the numbers and all of a sudden it's a $500 million school just about, yeah. Which is just crazy. And to put that in perspective, you just mentioned Essex Tech a little while ago. You know, Essex Tech has a fairly new school. I think they're under 10 years old, if I'm mistaken. I'll have to look that up. But they built their new school, and they actually have more kids that go to their school for $135 million. So, again, $500 million, $440 or $450 million plus, because, again, this is just a concept estimate. I mean, this number could go up, too, which is obviously incredibly concerning. So I guess where we are with the process, I know I'm sorry I'm talking a lot, but last week the MSBA decided to vote on pushing the project forward to a possible build. And when that happens, there starts a 120-day clock for the school district, Whittier, to hold a vote within all their member communities. And so what they've decided to do is hold a vote in the middle of January, January 23rd, in all 11 communities from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if that vote is a majority yay, I guess I would say, or positive, then Newburyport will be on the hook for $30 million for the cost of the project. And I mentioned earlier, we have 29 kids, so that would be over $1 million per child if that vote is successful.
Wow. Okay. As a former math teacher, those numbers are messing with my head. I'm not a financial person, but good Lord, I do pay taxes. Okay, so who votes? Who are the voters?
So there was two ways that this vote could go, and this also is spelled out in that document, the Acts of 1967. You could go do a town by town vote, okay, and that's all registered voters can go vote. And if that vote had failed in any of the one cities or towns, then the project would be, it wouldn't have passed. They've opted for option B, which is a majority vote. So all of the cities and towns will vote on it. But let's say, 5,000 people come out in Newburyport and all vote no. But let's say, Haverhill gets a lot of people out and vote. They get 5,001 people out to vote yes. The whole vote passes if it's a majority vote. So it really, again, and there's no funding mechanism set up to this vote. So now you've got 11 cities and towns looking at, and again, this isn't just unfair for Newburyport. I mean, I would say I've spoken to just about all the communities, and this is a difficult ask for all of them, regardless about where they fall in the scenario. It's a huge ask, and for the most communities, it would have to be some sort of debt exclusion because we just don't have the debt levy capacity to take anything on like this. I mean, for us, especially $30 million, I mean, that's like 5 years of what we've projected for our own capital projects. That's even over that. I've been trying to fight for a youth services center, rec center here in Newburyport.
Yep.
I was going to come forward with that this year, beginning of this year. And that's around a $5 million to $6 million project, and I've been having trouble with that. But this is a $30 million ask that wasn't in anybody's capital improvement plan.
Well, I was going to ask about the youth services thing because I've talked with Afron a lot, and she's talked about with passionately about trying to get that project off the ground. But you and both, Mayor Gove over in Amesbury have what's the right word I'm looking for? Talked about the lack of participation in the process over the years. And Mayor Gove was pretty adamant about that as well. Is there any recourse to that? Because it seems to me that this is something that someone is just trying to push through without really getting input from all the communities.
Sure. Yeah, no. And I honestly think that's exactly what's happened here. I don't know as far as recourse. I mean, I know Mayor Gove and I are both looking at our own cities. Legal options and all of this, but again, this is all based on a contract that was signed in 1967, and at the time, I'm sure that made a lot of sense from your report, but you know, right now, it's making it difficult on some of these, you know, legal challenges that we're looking at of how we move forward. As far as involving the communities, this actually I thought was a good thing that happened at the MSBA meeting last week, is that when they did vote to move it on in the process, and it was a 5-0 vote because it really wasn't their purview, they did mention all of the, you know, concerning emails and letters that they received about this project, which was the only project that had anything, you know, negative attached to it at the end of it on a 2.5-hour meeting. But after that, they mentioned that this is the third vocational school project in a row, and there's two others going on in Massachusetts right now. It's the third one in a row that's come through their process with communities saying that they weren't involved. Communication, lack of transparency, no collaboration. So it's definitely been a pattern, and they did call that out, and they basically said that they're going to look at their own processes moving forward and making sure that one of the requirements is for these, you know, regional vocational school districts to, you know, make sure that there's a check-in process there, that these communities know that this is ongoing and that this could be coming down the road, so communities have a chance to, one, participate, and then, two, just, you know, prepare financially for anything that they could be obligated to pay.
That sounds like a little loophole that they're trying to close. That's interesting. The price of the school, Mayor Reardon, good Lord, I've never seen anything like that. And how does that boil down to cost per student? I mean, when you do a budget in Newburyport for your schools, and forgive my ignorance on this, but I don't know how it works in terms of when they assess, they say, well, it costs so much per student. Do you take the school contract budget and then just divide that by the number of students that are in the school system? How does that work? How do you determine cost per student and then how that applies to your students who go out of district?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at that. So it's not as easy as just taking, like, your budget and then dividing it by the numbers. I think because we get so many monies from different sources, a lot of times you'll focus just on the city's allotment of that money, and that's how you get your per-pupil rating. Now, for out-of-district placements, that could be all across the board because those could be SPED placements, those could be school choice placements. You know, we have kids that go to Essex Tech, so I mean, we pay the tuition for those kids to attend those schools. So per pupil can get a little complicated when you're talking about building a school, and in this case, this $500 million school, it will be the third most expensive school ever built in the United States.
In the United States.
In the United States. The other two are located in California. But again, that just, you know, the previous high school in Massachusetts was Newton North back in 2010, and I think it was like just under $200 million. Mm-hmm. And the two current vocational projects that are underway right now are in the $200 million range. And actually, I should say one's in $200 million, one's in $300 million range. And again, this is coming in at close to $450 billion. Not billion, millions. So
it sounds like it. I know. It feels like it.
No. So, I mean, so again, that's why the cost is concerning. So, like, even with these other two projects, I mean, you're talking about $100 million more. And, you know, if you look at the plans, and we have them up on our website at cityofnewreport.com, but Whittier has their own projects page website, too. I mean, it looks like a college campus. I mean, again, we got the design, or we're getting the project that you get when there's no oversight and there's no involvement from the communities that have to pay for it, right?
Wow.
So we're really getting the Taj Mahal of of vocational schools, and it's, you know, and it's too bad because I said to them at the beginning, I went to their Whittier School Committee meeting on November 6th, and again, it was the first one I went to. I was actually there was only two of us there for public comment, and I knew this was coming, and they only meet once a month. So I went in November, and then they obviously had the big vote last week in December. But I said, you know, I was a teacher before this. I started in education. My parents were both teachers. I was on the school committee here in Newburyport, and then I decided to run for mayor. So, I mean, and then I worked for an education company for 17 years before I became mayor. So education has just been a huge part of my career and my life. And this is the first time ever that I will be, like, opposing something that could benefit kids, right? And to me, it really just comes down to, I'm a huge fan of Whittier, the school and all they do. But this is really just a financial question for me. I think they're just proposing something that's not realistic financially, not just for Newburyport, but for all 11 communities. So to me, a no vote on January 23rd is more about, hey, let's stop this process because it wasn't done correctly. I think it was a huge failure by Whittier by not involving the 11 communities in this, so we could better prepare and advocate and look for more money and whatever. The list goes on of things we could have done better. But a no vote, I think, will put a pause to this and either cause Whittier to go back to the drawing board and come back with a more reasonable plan for a new school, or they'll have to, you know, come up with a plan B for a really great plan for renovating the school that they're in.
I think that's a great point, and I hope that gets out there. And, you know, editorially speaking, I'm totally in favor of that as a former teacher. And the other thing, I think this will be the last thing I ask you about Whittier, Mr. Mayor, is I was reading about the things that need to be improved at Whittier Tech with respect to getting up to code. There's a laundry list of them, and that, in my mind, sends up alarm bells as well.
Oh, absolutely. So we have a school in Newburyport, the Rupert A. Nock Middle School, that was opened a little bit later in the 70s, but pretty much around the same time as Whittier. And we've put a lot of money into that school to keep it up, and like I said, you know, it's still going strong here in Newburyport. So that also is concerning to me, because if there's no track record of them ever coming to their 11 communities with capital requests for so long, then it, to me, in the back of my mind, it says, hey, look, our goal was to get a new school. We kept it up as long as we could. We mm-hmm. never asked for help to keep it up. And then now here we are. And now it's in such a bad place that, you know, we need a total rebuild. So that's concerning. I do think there are some projects that they could do to get it up to code. Again, I know that's not the preferred choice for them, but, you know, again, at the end of the day, I do think we have to move forward with a plan that can be fiscally possible for the 11 districts that are involved with Whittier.
Well, I wish you luck on that, because I know sometimes to vote no seems like you're against something, but you're not. You're just saying, let's see if we can do it a little bit better.
Sure,
so
absolutely. Yeah.
I get that. All right, let's turn to something more positive. I wanted to talk about the Youth Services Center, but let's save that for another day. And tell me a little bit, Mr. Mayor, this is a holiday week. We've had Hanukkah. We've got Christmas coming up. I'm sure there are really some exciting activities still to come in Newburyport between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, I know. This is such a great time in Newburyport. Like I said, the weather's been pretty cooperative, except for yesterday.
Yeah.
we had almost a hurricane blow through here.
How'd you make out with damages? Did you have any damages up there?
We had a lot of, we had a lot of neighborhoods with power outages. I think we're almost back completely up now. Mm-hmm. But, nothing too crazy, but just some really massive trees that took some wires down. So I think we're pretty lucky. But it was really impressive to watch the wind and rain earlier in the day yesterday.
Okay, and what about activities coming up?
Yeah, I know. Great things going on in the city. We just got through, we have a wonderful downtown, local shopping. We have a beautiful, beautiful tree this year. Thank you to the Newburyport Chamber of Commerce. We had three invitation nights in a row in December. Those are like Friday nights in December where the stores stay open a little later, and it's very festive. We have a trolley that runs through town that can bop you around. There's music in most of the stores, so a lot of fun. They added a fourth one, so that would be this Friday. In downtown Newburyport, what else is going on? We have our annual Santa parade on the fire truck. The fire department brings Santa to just about every corner of Newburyport on Friday. That starts at 4 o'clock. And if you want to check out the route that Santa goes on, you can go on cityofnewburyport.com to check out the route. And then, we had a great Hanukkah season here. We had lightings every night down on Market Square. So thank you to Rabbi Alex Matthews and his crew. And, yeah, Christmas is here on Monday, and I just can't believe it. It's been, I thought December would be nice and easy this year, my second year in office, and then of course Whittier dropped a bomb and all that.
All right, when's the next Mayor's Corner podcast?
I'll tape it on Thursday.
All right.
Be out Thursday night.
All right, that's Newburyport Mayor Sean Reardon with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.